and welcome to the program. Today we continue in our series on the pastor and the people. Have your Bible ready. God's program for this day and age in which we're living in has to do with the local church. And in the local church, we have two basic perspectives of things. One is how the pastor sees things, and the other one is how the people see things. When the pastor is looking out and the people are wandering away because they have itching ears and they want to have someone tickle their ears and just tell them what they want to hear, how is the pastor to respond? How does he handle that? On the other side of that coin, when the people see their pastor compromising and not taking a stand, what do they do? We're looking at that in this series of programs. In the meantime, listen to this message and song, Living for Jesus. That's what we're trying to do here. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway, a blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call. And give Him my all. Living for Jesus wherever and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. Living for Jesus through a little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile, seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Within the local church, we have two God-given positions here. One has to do with the pastor, and the other one has to do with the people. Both of these positions are God-given positions that have responsibilities. Now, it says here he gave some pastors for, what for? It says here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, perfecting the saints, according to the dictionary, to perfect something is having all the required elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as is possible to be. Interesting quote. Or to be highly suitable for someone or something. That's what the pastor's responsibility is, to perfect the saints, give them Christ-like qualities, teach them what that means. Then it says, for the work of the ministry. A work is an activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or a result. The Bible says here that he is to perfect, the pastor is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. There's work to be done. And then it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify is providing scriptural instructions concerning how the Christian should walk. Now, just a comment here concerning Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. There's a lot of controversy about this little verse. It says he gave some pastors and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice the word some is not found between pastors and teachers like it is all of the other positions. He gave some. That word and has been translated even 108 times. He gave some pastors, even teachers. Now, the pastor, the Greek word for pastors, we said before, the word pastor, singular, is not found in the Bible. But the Greek word is found 17 times, and it's translated shepherd. Shepherd. So the pastor is to be teaching, the pastor is to be preaching, and what he's to be doing here concerning his teaching is the walk of the believer. It's found seven times in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4:11, Paul said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. He's talking to the people, training them how they should walk. 4:17, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. 5:8, walk as children of light. 5:15, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians 4:14, be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Yeah, how they need to know the truth about what's sound doctrine and what is not sound doctrine, because they're out there. He refers to them with their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Then in Ephesians 4:14, he says that the church member may grow up in him in all things. Now the question is, how is a new convert to learn all of these things if he doesn't have a pastor? That's why it's important for someone, when they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, to get into a solid church that's preaching and teaching sound doctrine. And so that's the purpose here, and let me read it again, Ephesians 4:11-14. He gave pastors, even teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And so there's the pastor's responsibility. Now, we said there's seven pastors mentioned in the early part of the book of Revelation, and the first one is the pastor at Ephesus, found in Revelation 2, verse 1 through 6. The church has now only been going for 40 years since its beginning, but we see here that the Lord has a problem with this church, and particularly with the pastor, because that's who it is addressed to, because he has left his first love. It says here in verse number 1 of Revelation 2, unto the angel or the pastor of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Here's what God says, I know thy works, talking to the pastor, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast found them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake labored and have not fainted. God says, I know your works. You're doing a lot of activity here. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now here is the important thing. He's left his first love. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick. Now, it used to be the Lord's church. This has turned out to be the pastor's church, and he's really involved with a lot of activities. He's going to build that attendance up there, and going to stand up and fight the evil, and that's not bad in itself, but it's bad if we're going to do it at the expense of leaving our first love. Now, the first love for every Christian should be Christ. But this letter is not addressed to every Christian. It's addressed to the pastor at the Church of Ephesus. It's to the pastor. He has a position. There's different positions in the world. As a Christian, every Christian's first love should be Christ. That's obvious. But as a husband, the husband's first love should be his wife. As a wife, first love should be the husband. As a parent, our first love should be the children. And as a pastor, our first love should be the people, not the program. Now, the history of the church at Ephesus, it started back here in Acts chapter 19 when Paul came in and was used of the Lord to start this church. On his return trip there, he spent 3 years at Ephesus teaching the people. He departed in Acts chapter 20, and Ephesians was written about 10 years after the church had started. The tradition is that Ephesus became the home of the Apostle John when the Lord told John to take care of Mary, Mary, his mother, that they went to Ephesus. That's tradition. We don't know that for sure. But John, apparently, sometime later, was definitely banished to Patmos, on the island of Patmos, where he wrote concerning this church at Ephesus. Tradition says that Timothy was murdered in A.D. 92, and John wrote to whoever the pastor was at Ephesus at that time in A.D. 96, some 4 years later. And so he says to this pastor who's there at that time, unto the angel or the pastor of the church of Ephesus, I know your works, your labor, your patience, how you put the phonies on trial. You've had labored and not fainted. And he said down here in verse number 6, you even exposed those Nicolaitans. And that's great, but he had left his first love. What happened? Well, the program became more important than the people. What happens is we start churches to help people, and then somewhere along the way it reverses, and we need the people to help finance the program. And programs are a planned series of future events. We got to get this building program. We got to get this program. We got to buy those buses. We got to do that. And that in itself is not wrong. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, nevertheless, the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left your first love. The pastor's first love should be the people, not the program. Again, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12, the pastor is there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body. Not increasing the attendance, for edifying the body. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says that the church may receive edifying. 1 Corinthians 14:12, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. 14 and 26, let all things be done unto edifying. 2 Corinthians 12:19, we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Ephesians 4:12, pastors, what are we there for? For the edifying of the body of Christ. And verse 13 goes on to say, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What are we to do? Speaking the truth in love. What's happened? The people are to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. find a sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to